out, Lord. I'm trying to lead your people and
Bro,
my
it, yeah.
kids.
It's just like I'm trying to be spiritual. I'm trying to pray. And it's all kids are like, nope, not tonight. Not tonight. We're
So
just going to
true,
be
bro.
acting a fool tonight because daddy's distracted and he's leading prayer. So, you know, we can just do whatever we want to do. So,
Yeah,
it was,
so true, bro.
but yeah, man. Yeah. So, it's going to be interesting. I think they've all gone to sleep. I've got a monitor sitting beside me. They decided it just wanted to beep for no reason. So, I'm going to let it beep and then turn itself off. And then I'm going to turn it back on here a little bit. But, cool stuff. Any questions or anything before we hop in, bro?
Nah, I'm good to go. Yeah.
Okay. And is there let's see here. I want to be mindful of your time. Certain time you need to hop off by.
Whenever we can just knock it out. How long you typically go? About an hour?
It just depends. Some people I've gone an hour with,
Okay.
some people it's been like 45 minutes. It just depends.
All right. Yeah. However it leads,
Yeah.
it's cool.
Okay. And then as always, you know, prayer wise, spirit wise, you know, you start feeling like you tap into something, go for it.
Yes, sir.
No
Definitely.
no holes barred there. So but I'm going to so what I figured format wise, what we can do is I'll introduce the topic. I pray and then I'll introduce the topic. What I'm also doing tonight after we get done is I'm gonna record an intro, like a real brief intro for like all my videos and do some other stuff. But I'll open it with prayer, intro you. You can, ask who you are and all that stuff and you just give a little bit of your background and we'll just dive in from there.
Okay.
Cool stuff. And then
Excellent. So when you say a little bit of the background, what are you saying? You mean like,
just who you are, what you do, if you want to go that far, or ministry wise, how long you and your wife been married, how many kids you got. See,
okay,
okay, I'm just like
gotcha.
randomly picking up people off the road and being like, hey, you want to be on my podcast? Then if you want to, we can definitely shout out your podcast. I know you haven't
It's
been
cool,
on it in a
bro. I
while,
haven't. Yeah, I ain't done
but
nothing in a minute.
it's still some good stuff on there though.
Yeah,
I might
that's
toss it
true.
out just so you know.
Cool. Crosstalk podcast.
Yep.
That's funny,
I
bro.
might toss it out just like, and he also has a podcast, phase of life as a father and other things going on in life, but it's still
Oh,
good.
man.
It's still some good stuff in there. So, but yeah, man, I this setup I love. Like I'm really enjoying it. It's called StreamYard. And allows me to record video and audio. So then when I'm done, the audio drops, I can throw that on Anchor. And then the video I have, I can download and it records two different things. So it records this session like this, and then it records you separately and it records me separately. So like if you get like a nugget and you
Sweet
want to throw it as a short, like you can just chop it up as a short and just toss it in there. Yeah.
beast.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
that's
nice.
nice. How does my
It's nice.
video look? Does my video look super choppy?
No, you look smooth, bro.
Okay.
I had to move everything home because our church is in the rural area, and so like internet there is absolutely horrific, bro. Like we had to stop doing Facebook with our computer, which we had like a $400 camera we bought, some other stuff. Like we spent probably like $1,500, $1,600 on like camera gear. And like the internet's so bad, it makes it so choppy. And when I did the one with LJ Harry, like you can tell, like I had to take the two and like splice it together because it was so bad that, yeah, it was just delays and like it was, yeah, it wasn't as good as it could have been.
Shoo.
So I'm home
That's
now.
tough.
Yeah. With a
Praise
green
the
sheet
Lord.
behind me and my logo. So it works.
Beast. It looks good, bro. For real.
Know. We're on. See what we can do, but yeah, so I'm gonna pause and then do a welcome prayer, intro the topic, and then intro you if that works.
Sweet.
All right. Well, welcome everybody to the podcast. I'm excited to have you guys with us. Loving the traction. Thank you for the support and all the different things that have been happening on YouTube and Facebook. Really do appreciate it. As content goes, if you will, like, subscribe, share with somebody if you feel that they could benefit from it. Tonight, we have a special guest. We have Brother John Humble, and you'll see him here, or you see him on the screen, but we'll intro him in a minute. But we want to pray before we dive in, and really want to make sure that we start every podcast with prayer, start every podcast with asking God to lead us and guide us. So, Father, we come before you right now, God. We're so thankful, Lord, to be able to tackle this topic tonight, God, to be able to discuss, Lord, from what you've taught us, Lord, as fathers, as husbands, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would lead and guide this conversation. God, I pray, oh God, that you would help us, Lord, to be able to minister to someone's heart and mind. And God, help strengthen a father maybe who feels like maybe he's either failing, God, or he's not sure where to go or what to do. God, we know that we don't have all the answers, but I pray that your spirit would lead us, oh God, and guide us, I pray. God, we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. How you doing, bro?
Doing excellent, brother. Appreciate you allowing me to come on here and be a guest. Love your podcast. Sir. Been loving it since, you know, way back in the day before podcast became a thing that every apostolic wants to do. You know what I'm saying?
I'm loving it, bro. Love it. Appreciate it. Yeah. And I will say, too, as far as the other apostolic podcasts go, I'm loving the fact that there's just so many, man. There's so many.
A lot of great content.
Yeah. And one of the things I know us, what we want to do that help one, us stand out, but then two, kind of help us narrow down in our niche is, you know, one of the things that I noticed was missing was just stuff about fathers. Looking and can find things in just different places about fathers, right? So there's a book that we're going to review at some point. And I'm looking forward to that, looking forward to reviewing that book. But as far as just like content from apostolics to anybody, obviously, but
right.
That is from the perspective of an apostolic is something that's missing kind of in the world of parenting and being a father. I mean, you can find stuff on being a mother, just pull up any women's conference you want to pull up. But as far as being a father, day to day life, grinding things out, you know what I mean? We want to be that kind of resource. So I do appreciate you being on, man.
Amen. It's a blessing and a privilege. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. So for those of y'all who are wondering what tonight's topic is or today's topic, we're talking about there was a list that I found on a website, and it's a really cool list. It's 101 tips for dads. And it caught my attention. The topic itself was pretty good. But also the list was pretty phenomenal as well. So the website itself is called dadlife.com. And it was just this really cool list. And obviously, we don't have the time through all 101 tips. I might do a part two to this at some point. But there were some ones that stood out to me. And when I sent the list to Brother Humble, like he was like, okay, so there's some that stand out to me too. And so I'll let you kick it off, bro. But what was one of the things that on this list that stood out to you and why?
Absolutely. So we had a couple. After I had looked, I didn't want to look at your list and then make my list. I wanted to kind of make my list before and then kind of send it over to you and then to see where there was some overlap. And we did have some of the same things that really stuck out to us. One of the things that I thought was interesting for me was no matter how tough it gets, it's 100% worth it. So, you know, there's going to be times where it's going to be hard, where you're going to think to yourself, like, what was I thinking getting into this? This isn't as easy as I thought it was going to be. You know, my wife and I, we had our first child and I was 35. No way, that can't be right. I was 34. And, you know, she was about really 31 or whatnot, just turned 31. And I had just turned 34. And one of the things that we talked about was, it's like, man, you know, they'll coach you for marriage and all this, but no one really told us what we were getting into when we were having kids and how much of a game changer it was going to be for us. Yeah, it was a game changer. Like, I mean, it was like, whoa, okay. You know, I knew about dirty diapers. I knew about this and that, but I didn't know that I was going to have a baby that would be screaming and crying and getting in my face and yelling at me. And it's like, what in the world? What spirit did you get possessed with this? Can you act like this? So that's one of those things where you have to constantly remind yourself, you know, it's hard right now, but this is going to be 100% worth all the sleepless nights, all the crying, all the screaming, all the poopy diapers. Everything's going to be worth it all when you're on the verge of getting ready to lose your mind. It's like, you know what? This is going to be worth it all. And I think about that, and I've learned so much about the Lord through being a father. When I think about, you know, no matter how tough it gets, it's going to be worth it all. Dealing with a physical, natural baby, I think about that in the spirit as well, when we're dealing with people that are just coming to the Lord and who are new babes in Christ, and all the issues that we have to deal with and the diapers that need to be changed, and we hear them crying and they want to wake us up in the middle of the night. But it's all going to be worth it. 100%, we're not going to have any regrets once we see these babes mature into well-being adults that are able to walk on their own and speak and have their mind. It's going to be worth it all.
It is. It definitely is, man. I know, you know, both of us are kind of in our early stages of being dads. You have two boys. And then, you know, my wife and I, we have two boys, three girls. And what I think probably one of the things that kind of motivates me in that is that I remember my conversations with my mom. And, you know, as I got older, conversations with my dad. And just how that dynamic has affected me as a grown man now, looking at my own children, and how it's pushed me to be a better parent. And my parents, I had great parents. I mean, like, I had really good parents. And so when I say this, it's not a knock on my parents, but to have to be a better parent than my parents were, in the sense of trying my best to just make sure that I'm there in every respect of the way. Like, my dad was in the military, and so that's and again, no knock to him. I appreciate his service. I appreciate the time he put in. He did what he needed to do for our family, and he was a loving father. But because he was in the military, he wasn't there a lot. So one of the things that my wife and I were talking about one time was that I was like, man, I said, I don't remember being like this with my dad. And she's like, well, that's because your dad wasn't there all the time. And I was like, this is true. Like, my kids have a different dynamic with me because of that, but it's definitely gonna be worth it when we get done. You know, and our children are graduating, and Lord Terry, you know, Lord, don't come back before then. You know, our kids graduating, getting married, having families of their own, you know, I'm excited for what God's going to do in our kids' lives. So I know for me, one of the things that jumped out was actually, one of the first ones, and it said, you'll be swept up in big changes as a first-time dad. Don't forget to enjoy the little moments. And it kind of ties into what you were talking about, whereas there's just so much going on. And the cool thing is, too, like, a lot of these principles and tips, while they're for new dads, they apply to dads in all stages, right? Because, you know, the dad who has teenagers, the dad who has preteens, the dad who you know, he's on his seventh child, not his first child. There's always big changes coming. There's always something happening. Somebody's growing a tooth. Somebody's walking. Somebody's spelling. Somebody's saying their first word. Somebody's going to school. There's always these big changes. And I know for me, it's been sometimes it's you look at the big change and you go, wow, there's so much to get done. Like when my son started kindergarten this year. And we decided to homeschool, going through a co-op, and, you know, looking at it and going, you know, it's easy to focus on, okay, so how much is this going to cost? What is that going to do to my schedule? How is this going to affect my wife's schedule? How, you know, and to get caught up in the adult side of things versus being like, hey, okay, so my son's about to go to kindergarten, first day of school. Let me make sure that when I get home and I get off, I can sit down with him and be like, hey, how was it? Did you like it? And one of the things my wife helped me with is she instituted what we call a tag in, where, you know, we sit down at the dinner table and she's like, okay, tell daddy about your day. And it's gotten to the point where my kids are like, hey, dad, how was your day? And they sit there and actually listen, and they may not understand everything that's happening, right? I can't explain to them everything that happened in my day, but they want to know if it's a good day. Did I have a good day? You know, was it a bad day? Was it a really tough day? You know, I'm doing some training for work now. And so I'm like, hey, Dave's got homework. And they're like, homework? you got homework, you know, and trying to explain to them, yeah, daddy's got homework. But if you know, sometimes we can get so caught up again in just the big picture things and forget the small moments and making sure we make those count, you know.
No, that's so true. That's tremendous. And, you know, by you being able to do that, you know, you're kind of teaching them as well. It's like, hey, these things that you're learning now, they carry with you throughout your whole life. So even as you're going, you're having homework now, when you get older, you're still going to have to come back and you're still going to have homework. So we got to learn to tackle these disciplines now and go ahead and eat the frog early so we can get it out the way and still enjoy the rest of our evening and have a great life.
Yep, this is very true. What was something else that stood out for you?
So another one that I thought was really, really good, and I think it was on both of our lists, was don't be tempted by unnecessary stuff. And when you think about that, it's one of those things where that can go in so many different ways. Like there's things that you see that you're like, oh, I need to get this, and I got to make sure I know how to do this, and I got to have this. And you start thinking about all these additional things that aren't really necessary. It's not essential for you to be able to be a good dad. You know, it's like, oh man, I remember when we first had our firstborn, and you know, Gabriel is, he just turned 4 this past December in 2022. So when I think about him and I think about the things that we had with him, and we had like diaper wipe warmers and then all sorts of stuff. When our second born came, he had cold shock because he ain't getting no wipe warmer. No, he's getting that thing on his tush cold. You know what I'm saying? Like wiped down, it's gonna be cold. But then so there's like certain things that's like, okay, well, we gotta do this, we gotta make sure we do this. And a lot of the things that you're thinking are super important really are just unnecessary. Like there's some things that you can do and you can get distracted, like, well, I gotta make sure I do this and I gotta do that, and you start to stress things that really they're not even necessary. Like, I don't need to be worried about this. And that was one of the things when I think back to when I first became a dad. Even now it's like, you know, hey, I can go ahead and enjoy this and not have to stress about all these different things that are trying to tempt me to avert my attention.
Yeah.
And I think about that, you know, especially just becoming a new dad, like there's a temptation. Okay, well, I've got to work longer hours. I remember when my firstborn son, I'm in sales. So when my firstborn came, I was thinking like, okay, I'm about to go get it. I'm going to conquer the world. I'm going to make a lot of money so I can support my family. But the reality of the situation was that when my son came, I wanted to be at work less because I wanted to be able to be home so I could see my children getting raised up. And there was another scenario that happened when my second born came into the world, Gideon. He came in 2020 in the midst of the pandemic. You know, it was one of them crazy situations, as you know, you know. Yeah. So we sat there and there was an opportunity for me to get a raise in my job. And it was a significant raise. It was going to double what I was bringing home every year. So, I mean, it was a lot of money. But the problem was I was going to have to travel through 5 different states. I was going to be on the road a lot. And, you know, while the money was nice, it was unnecessary because we weren't struggling. I wasn't in a place. It would have been cool to have that comfort. We could have probably hired this person, or we could have done this, put our kids here, whatever.
Right.
But how much more would my kids have rather had their dad home? And I remember praying about it. And I remember the Lord asking me a question. He said, John, how much is your family worth? Woo. I sat there. And then it's one of those things where we allow things to tempt us beyond where they really need to be tempting us. We'll hear the voice of God speak, but then we'll start to rationalize. Well, was that really God, or was that just me? So one night I was out walking. And as I'm on a walk, I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, open up some doors for me to meet some people so I can have a spiritual conversation with them so that we can reach out to them, shine your light, and introduce them to you. So as I'm praying, I'm sitting there walking. And then there was a family that I had been witnessing to for trying to build a relationship for a couple months. I hadn't seen them in like maybe 6 weeks. And as I was walking, I started praying for that family. It's like, Lord, I don't know where they've been. And as I was walking my normal course, I felt the Lord tell me to turn left. And I'm like, that's silly. Like, why would I turn left right here? This don't make no sense. And I kept feeling it so strong that I was like, you know what? If this is the Lord, I want to obey his voice. Even though it don't make sense, I'm going to go ahead and obey it. So I ended up turning left. I went down the road. And as I was walking down the road, I see a truck backing up into the driveway of where that family lived that I had just been praying about that I hadn't seen in 6 weeks. And I'm like, surely that's not them. And then as I get closer, they hop out and they're like, John, this is crazy. You won't believe it. We were literally just talking about you. I asked my wife if she's seen you, and she was like, I haven't seen you. And look, I looked up. I was like, man, there's John right there. And it was one of those things I was like, yeah, man, this is a God encounter right here. They start
Yes,
laughing.
sir.
I ended up having my longest conversation with that guy at that moment right then. And I mean, since then, we've been able to build relationships with them. So I say all that to say, as soon as that happened, I left them. Man, it was great talking. Let's get together. I start walking back. The Lord speaks to me and says, John, you know my voice. You just have to listen. The same voice that spoke to you and told you to turn left is the same voice that's telling you not to take this job. Listen to me. It was like, whoo,
Bro.
it was so powerful. Man, I can feel goosebumps even now. And it's like, Lord, I was allowing myself to be tempted by something that was going to be nice, but it was not necessary. It was not going to help me be a better father. If anything, it was going to put more strain on my wife. It was going to put more strain on my children. They would have had more things, but they wouldn't have had their father. And their father was the more necessary thing to be present
Yes,
in the
sir.
moment.
Yes,
So
sir.
it was one of those things. It's like, man, Lord, help me not to be tempted by things that are unnecessary, even if it's something that in my flesh I might think is necessary, when in reality it's nothing. It's all just wood, hay, and stubble. I can't take it with me. Well, I can invest in my children, be here, learn how to budget better, and it's going to pay off far greater with more dividends in the long run.
Yes, sir. Wow. That's awesome. That is awesome. I think probably it's probably one of the biggest things as parents that we deal with. I know, like, moms deal with it too, but sometimes as dads, we can deal with it because, in that position, you may be like, hey, maybe there's a truck you've been looking at, or there's like a vacation you've been wanting to take the family on, or you saw somebody else who like had something really cool and really nice. And you're like, you know what? If I take this job, I can get that thing that I want.
Right.
I've also seen like where parents allow unnecessary stuff like into their kids, and I'll talk about this here in a minute. But like, I've seen families who are like, hey, my kid needs to be in every single sport or every single after school activity. And it's like, if
Right.
you're really going to raise your child and you're really going to disciple your child, like they have to learn they can't be involved in everything. They got to learn to pick and choose. And as a parent, do you really want your child involved in every single thing they can be involved in? Or do you want them to learn how to listen for the voice of God, teach them to say, hey, we're going to pray about this before you go join this? There may be nothing wrong with it on the outside, but let's pray about it. Let's see what's going on. And there's just, I mean, kids having phones too early, people like just there's unnecessary stuff in life. And we're seeing, I mean, just hop on Amazon and they will try to sell you a bunch of unnecessary stuff. And I like Amazon, but you know what I mean? Like if you're not careful, you'll walk away having spent a couple $100 on stuff that you don't need to buy.
It's
It
the
just
truth.
look cool. You know what I mean? It's like the person who goes in Walmart and the grocery shop, and they say, don't go grocery shopping when you're hungry because you'll walk out with unnecessary stuff,
It's the truth, bro. I feel attacked. Go ahead. Yes,
Bro, I'm
yes,
just, I mean,
bro.
it's one of those things. I'm that person who like back before, even, well, I'll say this, even after we got married, like there were times my wife was like, what else did you buy on Amazon? And I'm like, they were having a sale. Like me and my wife, like we both like to shop, and that's a bad thing. Like you're supposed to have a person who's like Uber saver, and we're both kind of like, oh, that's nice, and it's on sale.
Justification. It's
not that
justified
I
not to be sanctified.
need it, not that I need it, but you know what I'm saying? And it can just be interesting, but it is, it's that temptation to buy stuff. Even for the podcast, right? There's a temptation to go out and buy a $700 camera because that's the camera everybody says you need to use for YouTube, right? or to go spend $400 or $500 to set up a studio, because that's what everybody says you need in order to be good on YouTube. And realizing that, you know, pull it back. When it comes, it comes. If it comes, you know,
right.
being content. Paul said, I've learned to be content. You know, he wasn't looking for every situation to be the best situation, but he said, you know, I've learned how to be content. So, one of the things that jumped out to me, kind of in connection with unnecessary stuff, it probably hit me the most, especially after, I don't know if you've seen, have you seen that video of the Predator? They did an interview with a guy who went to jail for some stuff he did to kids.
Mm-mm.
So obviously I wouldn't say watch it with your kids around, but there's a podcast, the PBD podcast, and they did a snippet where they watched part of this interview. And one of the things that he said, this guy said that he was looking for when he was, after kids, after boys, was that he looked for a home where the father was not a threat, and where the kids seemed like they didn't have anybody that they would tell or talk to.
Wow.
And the guy was apparently like a referee for like a little league. And so like he had access to kids, and he would, you know, he could pick out, hey, that single mom seems like she's struggling. Seems like, you know, she doesn't have the wherewithal to kind of, you know, be there. And so he would pose as like a good male figure for the boy to hang out with. And it's just, bro, it will make your blood boil, like absolutely boil. But it reminded me of this tip that was on this thing. And again, this is for new fathers. This list was for new fathers, but I was like, you know, there's just some stuff on here that's just so good. It's right. Not just for new dads. And it was the fifth one. And it says, the doorbell is not your friend. You may want to consider limiting any visitors for the first week or so, and also creating a sign for the door to save the doorbell waking any of you up while you deserve or while you're napping. And when I read that, I was like, as a dad, that mandate, that principle never goes away. Like, the doorbell's not your friend. Yeah, right. When you have a new baby, the doorbell is not your friend, because that child needs sleep. Mommy needs sleep. You need some sleep. Everybody in that house needs some sleep, because a kid, like you were talking about, earlier before, it changes the whole dynamic of, you know, the relationship in the house. But as a father, we have to recognize the doorbell is not our friend, in that everybody who comes to the door doesn't need access to our house.
So good.
Everybody who comes to the door, and I don't mean the door as in our physical door only. I mean every program that comes up on the new streaming system, whether that's, you know, Netflix, Hulu, YouTube, whatever, every program doesn't need access to my house. Every friend that, or every kid that wants to be a friend, my friend or my son or my daughter, doesn't need access to my kid.
Right.
You know, every person who wants to talk to my wife doesn't need access to my wife. Everybody who wants to be in a relationship with me as, you know, a friend doesn't need access to me. And so as a father, it goes beyond just the actual doorbell waking you up, but it's okay. So how do I, as the head of my household, and the term that I loved is a book that I read, Family Shepherds, as a shepherd of my family, how do I guard the door, guard my home from people and things trying to get into my home, to change the atmosphere of my home, to take advantage of my children, to take advantage of my wife, to take advantage of me, to take advantage of our time, to take advantage right. of our devotion with God. Like, how do I make sure that I'm not just allowing everything that wants to get in, you know, and being vigilant as a husband to be a threat, right? One of the things that I know for us that happened was early on, and I won't say which child it was, but early on, one of our kids had two or three situations where I believe it was a spiritual attack. And I know there are people who are like, ooh, you're one of the, but hear me out, right? So their infant hadn't been in anything, hadn't done anything. You know, their baby, right? And we're laying in bed, and just out of nowhere, I mean, like blood curdling, screaming, crying. And so, of course, my wife hops up and she's thinking, you know, gas. She's thinking they got a burp, like something's like really bothering the baby really bad.
Right.
And, but it doesn't stop. They don't have a temperature. They're not like when you hold them or you push on something, they don't cry more. So it's like they broke something or, you know what I mean? Like it wasn't that type of situation. They're just like screaming. And finally, I felt this like pray, like this impression, pray. And so I started to pray. And then as I began to pray, like there was like this, it was, I want to say it was a battle, right? Because it was like this pushing down the prayer. And what I mean by that is like, as I was praying, I was kind of getting louder. Like there was this like, why would you want to get louder? Like, why would you want to get more intense? Like just pray a little prayer and roll over, like that kind of like resistance. Right. And so I'm praying and my wife is praying and finally, like I just go into worship and we're just worshiping and praying. And finally it just breaks, like literally it breaks and he stops crying. It just done. And, it was just like, what just happened? Like we both are looking right at each other, like what was that? And it's happened other times. And I know like the enemy sees things before we ever see them. He sees that we have giftings and callings before we ever see him. And so I kind of lean towards that. But as a father, right, it could have been, I was like, well, I'll let my wife deal with that. Right. And sometimes we can look at things and say, you know, well, my wife's prayer is powerful than my prayer. My wife knows how to connect or quicker than I do. But as a husband, as a father, if I can challenge us, like, that's my baby. Right. And that's my wife. Why would I allow an intruder into my house?
Right.
Spiritual or physical. And just let my wife go deal with it.
You exactly know what
I
mean?
Like, why would I do that? And so I'm not saying this to like big me up or like, but I'm saying it as an account, like it happened a couple other times where it was just like, okay, like throw on your war gear, go into prayer. And don't stop until that thing snaps. Like, don't stop until that thing lifts off. Don't stop praying until you know for sure the thing is whatever it is, whatever it's trying to do, you've like, it's been broken in the spirit. And so, amen. You know, for our fathers, like, I know some of you may be looking at me and going, I don't know what you're talking about. And that's okay. But there's some of you who you know what I'm talking about and you know what that feeling is. And you haven't, you've intimidated to step into that role as a father and step into that role as a man who is a threat spiritually and a threat physically and into that role. Like you need to make it up to say, you know what, in my house, nothing comes in my house to take advantage of my children that I don't put down either in prayer or some other way, but I'm going to put it down. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. No, definitely. That's so true. When Gabriel, our oldest, when he was just a little baby, he would start having like random crying fits. And I would take him in my arms and start walking and I would start praying and I would feel that he would calm down. So I started making up songs. You know, one of the things that they say is like also sing to your child. So bro, yeah. I would make up songs like all day. One of the songs was walking through the house, praying through the house, believing through the house, casting demons out. We're walking yes, through, and that shit became like a rap song. Like we're walking through the house, bah, praying through the house, bah, believing through the house. We're casting demons out, and we're walking through. But I'm sitting there like patting his back, getting like a drum pattern going. And then, man, next thing you know, yes, bro, sir. It's like you go into war mode because it becomes like a yes, cadence, sir. And it's like, oh, this is a spiritual battle for sure. And yeah. Thinking about like, like, nope, like, devil, you're not going to have my children. You're not going to have my family. Because yeah. just as, you know, the doorbell's not your friend, there's, like you were saying, there's so many things that we invite into our home that don't yes. even have to ring the doorbell. You know what I'm saying? Nope. It can come on, you know, you start entertaining with Amazon Prime, and then next thing you know, you got Netflix and YouTube. I sent my wife yeah. a video a couple weeks ago or so about, I don't know if it's YouTube Kids or Kids YouTube something, but they said that where children are being exposed to most pornographic content in this day and time is YouTube Kids or Kids YouTube, one of those two. I don't know what it's called exactly. And it blew my mind. But what they're doing is they're taking these cartoon characters and everything, and it seems like it's harmless, but then they're having them go through pornographic acts and whatnot, and the children are seeing it, get exposed to it. And I think about just how subtle the enemy is, and how he knows that if he can, we look through biblical history, we can see that it starts when they're young. If I can go ahead and kill off all these firstborn male children, if I can kill them before they grow up, then I don't have to worry about them being a threat. So he knows the power of the infancy that the child is in. And in his mind, he's thinking, if I can kill them before they mature, and if I can get my influence into them, then when they grow up, they're not going to be an opponent, but they're going to be an ally. If I can go and indoctrinate them while they're still young and show them a friend on the screen who happens to be transgendered or this or that, then I know that when they get older, they're not going to contend against that because they're already okay with that. So it's like, you know, and then the schools, we send our kids to a Christian school, but the things that some of the Christian teachers teach them blow my mind. I'm like, what are you guys doing? I thought you were a Christian school. So then you're having to contend with that, even though you didn't allow them to ring the doorbell. You sent your son out there to open the door, and they're getting greeted by these people. So yeah, bro, I definitely, there's a spiritual aspect and a component to it. One time, my wife and I, it was a crazy day. We just had our second born. Second changes everything all over again. So just had our second born. He was screaming. We got into an argument. I left the house, went on a walk, and I started praying. And there was so much spiritual stuff going on that I was unaware of, weren't even thinking about it because I was so caught up in the moment that the doorbell was ringing. I was opening indoors. Sometimes we can open a door just by what it is that we speak. We
Yes,
acknowledge the
sir.
presence of what it is without even acknowledging what it is. So we sit there and speak it out. And by us speaking it out, what we're actually doing is entertaining it, saying, come on into my house without us even realizing what it is that we're doing. And I'm just sitting here speaking and like, man, you know, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I start walking and praying. And as soon as I walked out my door, I start hearing some eerie music. I'm like, man, we have some crazy neighbors at the time. So I'm like, oh, they're probably out there doing their thing, whatever. But it won't rap music, won't rock music. It was like some eerie bells and stuff. And I'm like, what is somebody listening to? So then I turn up the street, wind's picking up with intensity. And I'm not naturally like a scared guy, like, oh man, someone's about to like jump me or someone's gonna come out here and rob me, you know? So I was like, okay. But for whatever reason, that night, I was so paranoid, I could feel like someone was physically gonna get ready to come and rob me. So I'm sitting there walking, looking behind me, looking around, seeing what's going on. And then as I'm walking, I feel such a eerie presence over by this school. And I feel the Lord telling me to go and pray. And when I looked over there for a split second, I saw somebody sitting on some swings. I hear the swings moving, but when I look back, there's no one there. So I go walk up, come back, and the Lord's like, I need you to go back there and pray. And I'm like, Lord, this is crazy what you're asking me to do. Like, I'm not trying to be about this right now. I'm trying to just get home at this point. I'm not trying to die in the wilderness, Lord. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, man. So I turned down this one street, and my pastor lives at the end of the street that I turned down. When I start turning down there and walking, the music stops and the wind dies down. I'm like, sweet. All right. But I can't get back to my house unless I pass back where I just walked. So I'm like, man. All right. So here we go. I'm like, Lord, you want me to go there and pray? As soon as I turn back on that street, the wind picks up and I hear the music again. I'm like, this is crazy, Lord.
Bro.
So then I end up going, I stop just short of where that street is, of where the school is. And as I start walking, I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but right now, in the name of Jesus, and as soon as I cross this invisible line, I could feel all of a sudden there was demonic activity, but then it was matched with an angelic presence that came from heaven and said, if my son is going to go ahead and face this, I'm going to send every angel to back him up. And I began
Yes,
to go and
sir.
pray. Next thing I knew, I had my hands on that fence at this Catholic school, and it was like 10:30 at night. I'm speaking in tongues, shaking the fence, casting out every devil in hell. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And he was speaking to me something about the spirit that I was battling and what it was. And it was a spirit of fear and intimidation, because all the crying and all the things that were going on, it was uncharted territory. And Lord, I'm feeling like I'm failing as a father. I'm failing as a husband. Bro. Lord, I'm failing as a Christian. I'm failing as a disciple, Lord. And I don't want to continue to mess up. So that feeling of failure had a fear and intimidation that was trying to keep me in that box to where I would just give up. And then that Lord is saying, now you need to go and confront what it is that you're feeling so that you can deal with it effectively, because you've been letting it in the house. So it's like, text my wife, babe, we're fighting spiritual warfare. We need to go ahead and pray. Begin praying. I'm praying right now. Began to go and pray, walk through the neighborhood, prayed some more, went home, prayed. And we've had moments like that where there's been a lot of spiritual opposition. But what I found is when we pray, and I teach my kids, because they'll be like, oh, I see a monster. I'm not like, oh, you're so cute. No, all right, you see that, I want you to know you have power. That thing has to listen. If you see a spirit, whatever it is, when you speak the name of Jesus, everything has to come subject under that name. Every principality, every power, every devil, it all has to listen when I speak the name of Jesus. And my kids, they pray. They'll come to me if we have a headache or something. They'll lay hands. And it's a kid's prayer. Jesus, touch daddy in Jesus' name. Amen. Bro, I believe in those prayers. I've seen God. They've prayed for me. And boom, I start feeling better. I'm like, man. I grab them and tell them, hey, you prayed for me and Jesus healed me. I want you to know when you pray, Jesus listens and he hears.
Yes.
So bro. Powerful, bro.
Man, you said so much there. And things I wanted to hit really quick. One is the feeling of inadequacy. I don't know that as dads, we talk about that a lot, that we struggle. Like, I know we have our egos. I know we have, you know, we deal with pride, things like that. But as fathers, and I know this may, some of y'all may be like, hey, how could you even like begin to talk about this? My wife is going to hear this. And then she's gonna be like, babe, do you struggle with this? And I don't want to have to deal with it. But if we're honest as men, we struggle with insecurity, being fathers and being husbands and doing it well,
right?
More than what we will ever say. And we can do a couple things with that. Like, we can go into prayer, like you're talking about. Like, we can go into prayer. We can go and say, God, I don't know where this feeling of inadequacy is coming from, but you've entrusted me with these children. You've entrusted me with my wife, God. You've gifted these to me, and so you're going to enable me. Or we can ourselves to down that road of feeling inadequate, and it affect how we parent, how we love our wives, because we always feel like we're not good enough.
Right.
Talk about women having that struggle, right? Like, we know women struggle with that idea of not being good enough, or not being beautiful enough, or not being whatever enough. But if we're honest, as men, as husbands and as fathers, we struggle with the same idea in a different way. Like, we struggle with that idea of being enough. So, you know, when we look at our kids and we see our kids growing up, and we see them maybe making a mistake, and we see the mistake and we're like, man, I know my kid's only 5, but still, like, can I teach him enough so that when he's older, he doesn't have to go down that road and he doesn't have to make those mistakes? Am I enough of a father to be able to protect my kids? Am I enough of a father to show them the right amount of love and to be there for them when they need me the most? Am I enough of a husband and a man to be there for my wife and actually be everything that she needs me to be? Like, we really do struggle with that if we're honest. And 100%. We have to go back to the word of God and say, God, our children are a heritage of the Lord. He that has find a wife findeth a good thing and attains favor of the Lord. Like, we have to go back to the word and realize God's equipped us to be, if we will allow him to lead us, he's equipped us to be amazing dads and amazing fathers. No, we may not have all the unnecessary things in the world, but we can be absolutely amazing as fathers and as husbands. And, you know, it just, we have to be honest. I'm really realizing more and more. I had to have a conversation with my wife not to go kind of along the same lines. She was asking me about some stuff, and I had to be honest. And I was like, babe, there are times that I want to fix things because I realize if I tell you, like in my head, I think if I screw up and I tell you that I screwed up, it might make you feel differently about me. And she looked at me and she just began to talk to me about like how much she was, you know, proud of me, how much she loved me, and how much she was like actually here for me. Things that I know, right? But as a man, a moment of transparency, right? As a man, there was a moment in me where it was just like, I'm trying to get this done because if I can get it done and fixed, she doesn't have to know that maybe things weren't going the right way. When in reality, what God gave her to me for was we could go down that road together. And so we could figure it out together. So we could pray about it together. So we could be on the same page together. And in doing that, we could see us grow into the couple that we're supposed to be. You know what I mean? So I just wanted, when you said that, it just kind of hit me because it's like, man, we struggle with that so much. And it's so easy to just say, oh, no, I'm good, man. I don't struggle with that. That's a lie. We all know.
No, it's so true.
If you don't, if you're sitting there saying, well, I don't struggle with being enough, give it some time.
It's so true. Give it some time. Actually goes into one of those points. It was on the list, I think it was number 14, that you will feel guilty.
Bro.
And I think that goes right in there with it. Like, you're going to feel guilty. You're going to feel like you're not a good enough father. You're going to feel like you're messing up. You're going to do things that you look back and you're like, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Or I wish I wouldn't have said that. I wish I would have approached that differently. You know, I've talked to people that have, you know, walked away from the faith. And I'm like, man, like, what was it? What happened? And they're like, well, our parents would live one way when they were at church and people would love them, but they would come home, it'd be a completely different story. And I'm like, man, I'm like, well, you know, there's times that I get upset with my kids. I might raise my voice at one of my children. I might spank my son a little bit too hard, harder than I should have. I'm like, man, I was like, but so let me ask you this. I said, like, I always go to them and I always tell them sorry. I tell them that I was wrong. If I did something wrong, I let them know daddy was wrong. I should not have done that. I'm trying to be more like Jesus. Forgive me. And then they say, they're like, you know, if our parents would have done that, you know, it wouldn't have been as hard of a struggle for us because we're going to make mistakes. We're going to feel guilty. That condemnation is real. Like, Lord, you know, I've sat there and there's been times, but you know, it all goes back to our upbringing. I know you said you had great parents. My dad was a former Vietnam vet, came back with a lot of drug addictions, came back with a lot of alcohol problems, trying to numb the pain from seeing his friends die and everything. I didn't understand that as a kid. I just saw a man who would love me one moment, and then I feel like he would hate me and my mom and my brother the next moment. So I didn't understand all that. So then when I grow up, I'm like, Lord, I don't want to be that to my kids. So it's like, I'm not going to allow that to happen. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. So by us seeing how everything was with our families, we start to fear that we're going to repeat those same things. And if we're not careful, by us having those feelings and those fears, we can actually cause them to come to pass because we're fearing it and not giving it to the Lord, saying, help us grow in this area. There's things that are inside of us that the Lord will use us raising our children to reveal things about us that we didn't even know were in us because he wants to get them out of us. So it's like, Lord, help me to see what it is that I need to change. Let my children show it. I'm going to mess up, Lord. I'm going to make mistakes. But Lord, help me to overcome those. Give me grace to be a great father. Help me to see how I can right the wrongs that I've made where I feel like I'm being inadequate and I'm not measuring up. Lord, help me to be the father and the dad that you want me to be. That's a prayer that I pray constantly. Lord, let me be the dad that you've called me to be. Let me be the dad that these boys need for me to be. And then give me grace when I'm not. Because there's going to be times that we're all going to fail. We're all going to fall. We're all going to come up short, but my kids, not once have they ever desired to have another father. You know what I'm saying? When I don't buy him the toy at the store,
Yeah.
it's like, oh, no, you still love me? Yeah. You still want me to be your dad? Yeah. You know, my son was randomly, I love you, dad.
Yeah.
Wow. Why am I feeling so
Bro.
guilty? Why am I beating myself so bad? Beat myself
Yeah.
up.
Man, there's nothing like your kid saying, I love you.
So true.
There's nothing, especially if like you've had like a rough day. And my oldest daughter, she's that one who's like that. And she will like I'll like come in and she's like, how's your day, Dad? It's like it was good. And she'll just be like, randomly walking by and put her head on my shoulder and she's like, I love you, Dad. And I'm like, it's like it's just this feeling of like, wow, like my kid. And there may be people like, well, your kid doesn't really understand what love is. Well, they really don't understand the full intention of love, but they know what they feel towards us. And
100%.
so it's just that moment. Yeah. As husbands, as fathers, man, we've got to make sure that we are. And I would say this too. One of the things I think that helps is having somebody that you can talk to that's not your wife and that's not someone who's necessarily in your immediate family.
Right, that's true.
Having a group of men or a man that you can go talk to that you all can, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. And so does, a countenance of a friend. And so when you're looking at feeling inadequate or you're feeling guilty, go talk to an older dad. Go talk to a dad who's been in church for a while, is faithful. If you need to ask your pastor, hey, who's a good dad I can go talk to? And go have that conversation with them. Be like, hey, I'm feeling really inadequate right now. And they will begin to help you understand how to navigate that prayerfully, scripturally, but how to navigate that as a husband and a father, and how to make sure you kind of mitigate that. You don't allow yourself to stay there, because
Right.
it can definitely mess you up long term,
No, it's
if
so
you're not paying
true.
attention. Going through one of the things that caught my there were a couple more that caught my attention. One was, you'll see many different shades of poo, and I started laughing when I saw this because if you both in the sense of but also in the sense of mistakes your kids are going to make, right? So in the sense that, right, as a child, like my kid, we had one experience, bro, where our child, she wasn't sick. And I won't say which one it was. I said she, so it's already out there. But I've got three daughters, so then I gotta figure out which one. But she was a baby, and my wife was changing her, and she had like the most forceful bowel movement I have ever. Like it got past my wife, and like she was changing in the kitchen. It was like all over the cabinets, just like a straight geyser. And it's true. Like when we look, like our kids, depending on how they're feeling, right? I mean, it could be a mess running down their legs, and they had a clean diaper one second, and the next second, like running down their legs, and you're like, "What just happened? You have a diaper on." Or it could be at those times where they've been eating their veggies good, and all of a sudden, like, like, hey, come look at this.
Hundred percent.
And as I looked at that, I was like, it's true both in that sense, but also, if you're looking at, poop being a mistake, right? You're going to see a whole lot of different mistakes in all different shapes, colors, sizes.
So
Your
true.
kids are going to make some mistakes, and it's expected, right? And that's, I think, probably for me, one of the things that I have had to work on here is being, because I see the mistake and I see where this mistake can lead, I automatically can sometimes jump to worst case scenario, meaning, your kid pushes your other kid, right? And you and your brain, like, because you want to be protecting, you want to be there for your kid, you want to kind of help them navigate life, it can almost jump to like full-on fight, right? Like they're about to have a full-on fight. And so you react as if the worst case scenario has happened versus being like, hey, all right, so let's look at this. We don't push. We protect. We keep. We don't mess up. You're walking down the hallway and you notice you have artwork on your wall that you've not seen before because you didn't buy it or hang it up. It's just on your wall. You know, and you're like, what do you I pay for this house? What are you doing to my house? You know? And but really, and as our kids get older and looking back in my own life, like one of the things I appreciate about my mom and dad is their ability to see our errors and mistakes and help us navigate it. And not look at it as it being foreign and being just this, oh, you made a mistake, and so you're gonna throw the baby and the bathwater out. Like, okay, so you made a mistake. Like, let's navigate this. Like, not that I didn't get in trouble and that I didn't get disciplined, but there was always a learning with it. It was always, you know, trying to figure out, okay, so what are you gonna do next? And I think as fathers, we have to be willing, you know, especially if you're a newer dad, be willing to look at mistakes and be okay with not the mistake itself, but being okay with the fact that your kids are going to make errors and make mistakes, and poo comes in all colors and sizes. Like I said, just how it is.
No, it's so true. That's 100% true. I think, you know, my sons, they sometimes will drive me up a wall and it's like, what in the world? We were playing a board game a couple weeks ago and we had some of the young people over from the church, and one of them was like, mommy, daddy, I need you to come in here, because we hadn't heard the kids in a while. And when the kids go silent, it's not always a good thing. You know what I'm saying?
It's most of the time it's not.
Oh, snap. Yo, these kids are mad quiet right now. What's going on? Like, okay. I'll go check on them. All right, thanks. Mommy, daddy, you need to come in here. Man, we go in there. These jokers had gotten up in the bathroom, got on the vanity. I mean, they had like toilet paper, like paper mache things going on. They were painting on the mirror. Water was everywhere. They were both completely soaked. Like they were trying to get infant baptism as part of our belief system. I'm like, and I couldn't do nothing to sit there. I had to walk away, laugh. And then I get my phone out and take a picture because I'm like, this is too good. You know what I'm saying? Like this is great, you know? It's like, man, this is one of those memorable moments. Like, this is wonderful. I love this.
Yeah.
All right, guys, get out. Now you're all wet. You got to get new bed clothes on. Okay, now we got to do this. We got to clean this up. Oh, come on. Get this towel. Do this.
Yeah.
It was a great, one of them great moments. It's like, man, like, what in the world just took place? But that's where that one thing comes into play where it's like, hey, you're going to make some mistakes, but that's okay. You're going to make some bad decisions, but that's going to be all right because they make great pictures. And it's the truth. You know, you'll make some bad decisions.
A great line, bro.
Yeah, I loved it. Like, there's bad decisions that you're going to make. You know, I bought both my kids boxing gloves. You're talking about trying to teach them not to push. I'm trying to teach them how to throw a good punch. You know what I'm saying? Like, and there's times, bro, they'll sit there, man, and next thing you know, I start hearing Rocky music playing in my head. Dun, 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 dun. It's like, yo, keep your hands up. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, keep them hands up. All right, when you throw, you come back. You know what I'm saying? So it's like one of those things, like, okay. And then next thing you know, I got my phone out and I'm just sitting here, oh, you guys are having so much fun. This is so cute. Yeah. And then, man, one of them throws a punch. The other one comes up, blocks it, and comes back with a nice hip into it and everything. Nice rotated little hook shot hits him in the body. And it's like, whoa, that was nice. Are you okay? That was really good, though. We have to understand what just happened here, guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just took what daddy taught you and you put it into play. And you're going to see how good this really does work. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, oh, man, that was probably not the best decision to do. But man, that's gonna be a great picture later on in life. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, we're gonna make mistakes. Some of these aren't gonna be the best decision. Like, you know, like, okay, you can have some candy and you can eat a little bit of this, and you look back and you're like, where's the rest of the candy? I ate it. You eat the whole bag? Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So yeah, bro, there's those moments where it's like, uh-oh, but it's all good. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes
bro.
Things that we think are huge really aren't as big as we think they are. And yeah. Once we can see that, we can start to enjoy those moments a little bit more instead of being so stressed out. It's like, oh no, I can't believe this happens. Like, chill, calm down. This is bad, but it's not as bad as it could be. It's all good.
Yeah.
You know, let's just find the humor in this and let's just keep on moving, keep on strolling.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
That's funny, bro. That's hilarious because it's true. Things like that
it
happen.
It is true, bro.
And the dad's side notes is like, ooh, that your mom, I'm going to have to explain that to your mom. But just so you know, that was a good job.
That was great. That was a good rip shot. Yes, son. You got to put a little bit more hip in it and get that. I mean, you chop it up, boy, you will start breaking some bones. So, but don't do that. Don't do that unless you have to. You're getting attacked by somebody and you have to defend. Absolutely have to defend yourself after you've prayed. Absolutely. Then you can do what you got to do with that hip turn. But don't do it until then.
Not till then.
Yeah, that was a bad decision, but it made a great picture.
Oh, that's hilarious, bro. the last two I wanted to talk about kind of go together, right? So it was number 13 and number 30. And number 30, I'll read that one first and then I'll read number 13. But number 30 was, you're the king of house chores. If you didn't do many house chores before, you'll now be hoovering, washing, and cooking a cooking machine. And the other one, which I think ties into this really well, and I know it's for some of y'all might be a little awkward, but I think it ties in really well. It says, you may see a lot of boob, but it's not for you. Focus on being the best helper possible, and you'll have them back in no time. But as dads, I think one of the things I've noticed with like younger dads that I've talked to and stuff, there can be this, especially if they never have done house chores before or they've never done like work around the house. There are some people I know that are absolutely opposed to doing work around the house. And it's like, bro, first, like you might be able to get away with that depending on who you married. You might be able to get away with that from the standpoint of like when you first get married, you don't have kids. Like it might be your wife is like, you know what? The house is my domain. I want it to look a certain way. Don't touch anything. But I promise you, when kids come along, that attitude doesn't remain the same. Because if she's taking care of the kid, especially if she's working, and I know some people are like, well, you know, well, my wife stays at home. She's still working. Like, she's still got a full-time job 100%. Taking care of the house, cooking, cleaning, like all that stuff. And so if your thought process is, well, that's her stuff. I work outside the home. I'll come home and I just chill. The problem with that is, well, there's a couple problems with that. One is you're going to drain your wife and you're going to want affection from her and she's not going to have any affection to give you because she's drained it working, cleaning, taking care of the kids. Right. So, you know, especially if you're a guy, it goes back to the 13, right? So especially if you're a guy who physical intimacy is something for you that is a big thing for you, like you need to find ways to help out around the house. Ways to be like, okay, so you cooked, I'll do dishes. Or, hey, I'll take care of the kids tonight. I'll give them baths. I'll get them in bed. Or, hey, don't even say anything. Just go take care of stuff, right? I will give this little disclaimer. Make sure you talk to your wife about how she prefers things to be taken care of first. Because I know me and my wife, the first actual real argument we had was around loading the dishwasher. And that may sound trivial, but it was a very deep discussion around how she liked dishwashers loaded and dishes washed versus how I was used to doing them, right? And so, like, there was a moment where we had to kind of find common ground. It was like, okay, so this conversation is not worth us having an argument over. So we'll just do it your way. Like, that's okay. normally, like, you know, most of the time, the wife is the one who is taking care of the house. And so she has a certain way she likes things done. She has a certain way she wants things placed. And so if you come in and you're trying to help, like, if you don't know how she wants that done, then you can literally make her have to work more because you didn't ask. So be humble, go ask, right? How do you need this done? How do you like that done? Right. Do you prefer that to be done? But what that does is allow you to be able to connect. Like, if you like going on dates, if y'all want to go on a date, you can't really go on a date if you're not helping her around the house and she doesn't feel up to it because she didn't have the energy. You're like, hey, let's go for a walk. Or, hey, let's go out to go eat some dinner. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. And she's like, babe, I'm drained. Like, I don't have anything to give. Mm. Right? And it might be because you aren't helping. So become the king of chores in your house. Doesn't mean you're a house slave. It doesn't mean that you're balled and chained. It means you're helping your helpmeet, which you need to accomplish as a team, not as, well, wife, you go do this, and then I'll go do the manly things. Like, help around the house, clean bathrooms, dust, put things away, clean up after the kids, if, you know, the kids are in bed, things like that. And then, of course, 13 kind of ties into that because, you know, as, especially if you're, you know, your wife is breastfeeding when you're, you know, you have younger kids, many times that you're needing her or wanting her, and you're going to have to be okay not having her in the moment because she's giving everything she's got to the kid. You can't allow jealousy to come over. You can't be like, hey, you know, you got to spend time with me too. Like, she knows that, right? And she knows that you need her time and attention. But in that, especially in the early phases, like, you've got to be willing to allow your wife to be a mother and take care of those children. Right. Like, she's going to come back to you. She's not going to run away with your kids. Prayerfully, she's not going to run away with your kids. But it's not gonna be a situation where you're gonna have to, like, worry about that. But if you're able to do the first thing, which is help her out around the house and be there for her, and pour into her, be there and take care of things, cook dinner on occasion, take the kids out, you know, if you get multiple kids and your wife is just like, tired, take those kids out somewhere. Like, go take them to the park, take them to something, some time, give her some space, and allow her to build up herself again. And so that you guys can be the couple that maybe you both want to be, but maybe she can't give you because she's just so tired.
So good. Absolutely. And, you know, another thing about that is if you are not sensitive to what it is that's having to happen and you try to put blame on your wife for not bringing those needs, then, you know, one, your wife already knows that she's not able to be there for you as much as, one, you like her to, and as much as she wants to be. She knows that. Yeah. So if you sit there and like try to put guilt on her, then all you're going to do is tear down her image, where she already feels like she's a horrible wife and she's already struggling thinking that she's not a great mom. And now I'm failing at, you know, helping my husband with physical intimacy. She's just going to have an image that's getting torn down more and more and more, and it's more strain on her brain. So that's you're fair. Definitely not helping the situation. So I always think about Joseph and Mary. When Joseph was taking Mary, she was still pregnant with child. He saw what was inside of her, and he went ahead and he exalted her and lifted her up onto another level to make her journey a little bit lighter until they got to where they were going. And you got to realize that it's a journey. Mm-hmm. And you got to think about what it is that your wife possesses. Yeah. First off, she went and allowed her body to physically change so that she could bear your children. And now, because you're not getting certain needs met, you're going to try to put guilt and blame on her and make her feel shameful. Yeah, man, that's repent worthy. Yes, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's like, okay, go ahead and hit your knees and pray and seek Jesus and talk to him and see what he's speaking to you about this, because there's some musicians issues inside of our heart. Yes, thank you, Lord. Yes, Jesus. But it's so true, though. So true.
Wow, man. Well, bro, as we are looking at wrapping up here, are there any other ones that kind of jumped out to you that you wanted to cover and look at?
You know, there was the last one that I would hit on, and it seems so simplistic and so like, why would you even say that? Is the burping one. And I think about burping and how you have to become a master at being able to burp your child. And I think about that from a physical standpoint. Yeah, you know, you got to burp them, help them get relief. But when I think about it, that comes up even later on in life when our children get to a point where they have something that they have taken in that is causing them pain. And we've got to be there to be able to get whatever it is that's in them out, even if they don't know what it is that they need to get out. And, you know, my son hasn't been burped in a very long time, but I still will go through a burping process with him because I see there's something in him. One night we were at church and he was sitting there acting up like crazy and having an attitude and whining. And I got to the car and I'm like, son, we're not leaving until you tell me what's wrong. I got out the car, walked around, got by his car seat, and I looked at him, not in a mean way, but in an endearing, empathetic way, like, son, I'm dad. Tell me what's wrong. What's wrong, son? I know something's bothering you. And he didn't want to tell me. And it's like, you don't have to be afraid. You're not going to get in trouble. What's going on? What happened? And then he told me somebody ended up getting a prize. My son was supposed to get a prize, but they didn't have it. And they were like, well, we'll give you a prize later. But then the other gentleman got a prize. And it broke my son's heart. He began weeping and crying. And I'm like, man. So I just held him. But once he got that burp out, he felt a lot better. His attitude changed. And there's things that are going to happen that our kids want to keep inside because maybe they feel ashamed. Maybe they feel like, oh, this is silly that I even feel in this way. They don't know what it is that they've ingested, but they've taken a little piece of life, got it inside of their system, and it's hard for them to get it to go down so that they can digest it. So it sticks there in their chest, becomes a weight, and it creates pain. And we got to be able to learn how we can burp it out of them so that they get whatever it
Bro.
is on the inside and get it outside. So now healing can start to take place and it doesn't become a serious issue.
Bro, that is so good.
Yeah,
That
absolutely.
is
You
so
know,
good.
if I had anything to say to the fathers, I just try to say, just be encouraged. You know, no matter what it is, you may not be perfect, but if you're present, you're making a difference. I looked up some statistics and it was showing that children that don't have fathers in their homes are 5 times more likely to be at risk for poverty.
Bro.
They're more likely to have behavioral problems. They're 2 times the greater risk of infant mortality, to die as an
Wow.
infant just because the father is not there in the home.
Bro.
Their days of life are 4 times higher for those with fathers that are there than those who are absent from their homes. They're more likely, if you don't have a father in your home, you're more likely to go to prison. You're more likely to get pregnant as a teen just from the father being present in the home. It doesn't even say for the father to be a good father, great father
Just
present,
there.
just from him being there, his presence, though he's not perfect, his presence is making a difference. So you might be listening to this thinking, man, I messed up, I'm doing this. But if you're present in your child's life, your presence is truly a gift and it's making a difference. So be
Wow.
encouraged.
Bro, that's so good. And I think with that, we will end it. I really do appreciate you being on, man. It has been a pleasure. I know when I was thinking about this list, was about going solo and just kind of going through a list and just kind of felt my spirit. It was like, hey, get humble. And I think it was a God move. It was definitely a God move to bring you on, bro. And
Amen.
I
It's
appreciate you
been a
being on, man.
privilege.
Yes,
It's
sir.
been a
So
privilege and an honor for sure.
I'm gonna throw this out here, and I'll let you talk about it. But you do have a podcast that you used to record, and it's still live, it's still active. And for people who maybe you listen to this, you're like, hey, I want to hear some more. He has got some phenomenal interviews, some great men of God. But what is that podcast, and where can they find it?
So it's Crosstalk with John Hummel. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, pretty much anywhere that you can listen to podcasts, you can find Crosstalk. So I haven't done a recording since I believe it was this past summer, had Brother Evan Miller come on and he talked about how he overcame a pornography addiction. Tremendous,
Bro.
tremendous content.
Yeah. But yeah, I've been listening to it off and on here and there, and I know, like, just some of the content I've come across, just really solid conversations. And I appreciate the work that you put in. I know things in life, and we're not always able to pursue things the way we used to, but that chapter of your life, I think it's probably going to impact people further than what you know. So, but yeah, again, thank you for being a part of this, bro. And God bless, and we will see you all next time. We're going to continue this series on fatherhood, and just continue with book reviews and interviews and conversations. So stay tuned. If you are listening to this and you made it to the end, I want to say thank you. And also, if you made it to the end, feel like it's somebody that could benefit from this, share it with them, send it to them. Just like, hey, let this encourage you. And I pray that it does, and that God blesses. We'll see you guys next time.
Amen.
Bro, thank you so much, man.
Hey, I love you, bro. I appreciate you.